in the foyer, so it's a little faster than mine. But I believe Si has the prayer today, so he's coming. I do appreciate all the men that led a prayer, both sides.
Before we get started with any prayer requests, all right, let us pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this, another beautiful Lord's Day you have granted us. Lord, we're thankful for this time and opportunity we can come here this morning and study from your word. Lord, we're thankful for the many blessings that you have given each of us here in this world. We're thankful for its beauty. We're thankful for what you give us and how you love each of us. Lord, we are mindful of those in our minds and on our hearts that may be sick or afflicted, Lord. We pray for healing and strength and comfort for those. We pray for those that have lost loved ones here recently, Lord. We pray for their families. We pray that they will turn to you for this comfort. Lord, we pray for Brian and Lisa and the boys, Turner and Charlene, and others that have traveled this weekend to polish in the pulpit. We pray that their time there will be beneficial. We pray for their safety and their safe return. Lord, we're thankful for Mr. Harry. We're thankful for his willingness and ability to bring us this lesson this morning. We pray that he is prepared and is able to present this in a way that we can understand and further our knowledge in your word. Lord, we are thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for his great sacrifice and all that he does for us. Lord, we pray this all in his name. Amen.
It's hard to realize that today we're going to have 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Lord willing, then next Sunday morning we'll have the little shorter chapter, the closing one, number 13. While I think of it, Neil hopefully will have a prayer next week, or we'll take care of that. If you have your Bible, let's turn to 2 Corinthians, and not quite as long as last week, but it's still a long chapter. I like the outline for the New King James. The vision of paradise, verses 1 through 6. The thorn in the flesh, that'll be verses 7 through 10. Signs of an apostle, verses 11 through 13. And then I really like, for the rest of chapter 12, love for the church. Paul's love for the church in Corinth. So that'll be the rest of the chapter from verse 14 through 21. So I'm using the New King James, so think of the vision of paradise, verses 1 through 6. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Don't forget, that's in the plural. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, but who knew? God knows. Such a one was caught up in the third heaven. Paul liked to emphasize being in Christ, didn't he? That was in verse 2. So you might want to give some thought to that. How often he talks about being in Christ. Verse 3. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And I like verse 7. I'm going to add a word. And in light of the context, would this be how we would understand? And lest I, Paul, should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. So I did more research on the thorn in the flesh and the signs of an apostle. So if you have some other questions, that'll be fine. Verse 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. That is the thorn in the flesh. And he said to me, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions. That really caught me. Saul of Tarsus was really a great persecutor, wasn't he? But now he'll become the great apostle Paul, who is really persecuted. So sometimes as we sow, we reap, don't we? For when I am weak, then I am strong. I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you. For in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. If we have time, we'll look at that a little more, the signs of an apostle and what Paul was able to do. Verse 13, for what is it which you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now, I'm sure you haven't forgotten. He didn't take any money from Corinth, did he? So he wasn't burdensome to them. Now, for the third time, I am ready to come to you. And I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, your money and your possessions, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Now, need to think about that statement in its context and how Paul is. Wasn't Paul there loving spiritual father, and they were his children? So what's he saying? Hey, I want what's best for you, like a loving father would want what's best for his children. And how do we know that? Look at verse 15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. But be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. They'd have to agree. No, Paul, you were not a burden. But some might say, oh, but you were still very crafty and cunning. Now he's going to deal with that, isn't it? Verse 17, did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus and sent our brother with him, who we don't know for sure, but remember, Luke is the likely suggestion. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? That is, Titus and I had the same attitude? Did we not walk in the same steps or by the same course? Titus and I, didn't we want what was best for you? Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your what? Remember, I think that's a big word. He wanted to build them up. I like that. I want to edify you. What's best for you? I want to build you up, not tear you down. So now we're ready for verse 20. For I fear lest when I come. Now, our lesson, he's already said, I'm planning another visit. We're going to note that in next week. When I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and you, as you do not wish, I shall be found by you, such as you do not wish. And then he spells out what he was afraid he might find. Lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. I'm still working on the next one. This is the New King James. Selfish ambitions. Could we ever be selfish? And we just say, oh, I'm just real ambitious. Backbitings? You mean in the church at Corinth? Whisperings, conceits, tumults, lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not what? Repented. That was one of our key words way back, wasn't it? First part of the letter. And have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. Now, next week, give you a preview of coming attraction. Paul said, hey, if I find that, I'm not going to spare. You talk about me being weak or bold. I can really be bold. And I'll tell you like it is. Hey, that's not right. If you're guilty of these things, that's wrong. God says it is. And I say it is. And we're going to do something about it. So, what do you want? Now, next week, he comes with authority. He wants to be gentle rather than bold. And then what I find very interesting, he doesn't spend much time in this letter closing out, does he? Okay, here's chapter 12. lot in it. I had three questions that came to mind. See if they coincide with yours. What was Paul's thorn in the flesh? What were the signs of a true apostle? Now, we've already noted, Paul talked about true and false, didn't he? Apostles. True and false workers. True and false ministers. And even true and false brethren. So, what plans did Paul have for the future? That's in our lesson for today and next week. Hey, I want to visit you again. Now, how do you want me to come? Gentle or bold? What am I going to find when I come? And what's God going to think about it? So, we don't like to use the word, but I found it's a key word in chapter 12. Weakness. But didn't Paul affirm when I'm weak or I'm what? I'm strong. Now, I hope in our survey, the heart of Paul, he could be weak, couldn't he? But he could also be very strong. His critics would say, oh, he's weak in appearance. He can't speak. But I hope we know that he could speak. And he did speak if needed to. So you have a choice. And don't overlook. What was the Father, Son, and Spirit thinking? Were they happy about the situation in Corinth? Or were they mourning? And so I've often wondered, what does God really think? He sent his son. We know what his son did at Calvary. And then the Spirit revealed this book. When we say, well, I don't care if it's in the Bible. God, I'm going to do what I want. You say, God said, oh, so what? Hey, I took the initiative. I sent my son. The Spirit, you can read about it in the Spirit-given Word. We clench our faith. I don't care what you said or what you did. I'm going to do what I want. So, wonder how God, heaven, thinks or responds. I know we put the emphasis on, we're going to know one another in heaven. My answer will be, if some of our loved ones are not there, God can take care of that. So, I still believe the promises he's made and the power that he has. Okay, weakness in strength. And I like the outline. His love for Corinth. People are valuable, aren't they? You are valuable in the sight of God. Now, supposedly, our value system is, hey, every individual is valuable. They're made in the image of God. Jesus died at Calvary for them. We're not careful. Our value is, so what? If a lot get killed or wounded, so what? So what? Again, I would think verse 7 is the key to this chapter, number 12. Now, again, I'm not going to say it did harm. But I will affirm that if you read these chapters together and forget about what men have done, like adding the chapter and verse, you'll get more out of it. And I know I have. So these chapters really go together, 10, 11, 12, and most of 14. That's a major section of the letter. So, and certainly we've emphasized the key concepts. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Did he really love the brethren in Corinth? So, we're emphasizing the heart of Paul. He could really be down, couldn't he? But he still thought about what was higher, God and the Savior than the Spirit. So, again, we'll go by the clock in the foyer. That's our authority. Let me share this with you, and then I'll try to shut up and let you talk if you'd like to. Back in chapter 11, remember, I'm trying to read the chapter and think, what's said about God? I put the emphasis on God wants. God desires. I was impressed. Now, chapter today, verse 21, God humbles. He can do that, can't he? He really can humble all of us, can't he, if he wants to. So, now, we'll look ahead to next week. Remember how I started? God cares, chapter 1. Now we're going to close in chapter 14, the closing, right? God loves. God is love. So think of it. Why does he care? Because he loves. Why did Paul care? Because he wanted to be like God, tried to love. So now, I find it very challenging. What do you find in the chapter? How am I to think, talk, and live? And I believe last week I shared with you chapter 11, watch my reactions. Our electricity went off and I was ready to shave. What was my reaction to that? Boy, that really upset the routine I was used to on Sunday morning, didn't it? Okay, I need to watch my reactions, don't I? What do I think? What do I say? What do I do? Our chapter for today, number 12. Generally, we shouldn't do it. But Paul was doing some boasting, wasn't he? Some bragging. So I need to watch my boasting, don't I? My brag. Oh, how good I am. Really? I've said it before. The only way I'm going to get into heaven is by the grace of God, by the sacrifice of Jesus, by the Spirit-given word. I'm not going to be able to stand there and say, hey, I was so good. You just have to let me in. I've earned it. I deserve it. I've merited it. I think we all know the only way I'll get in is Jesus says, well, Father, here's one that believed in me and tried to live for me. Perfect? No. But a believer. So, and then I'll need to do it this morning because I have the announcements and the opening prayer. Isn't there going to be one thing in the last chapter? Paul watched his prayers. I need to watch my prayers. Does that include this morning, what we're supposed to be able to say amen to? So, okay, I'm going to shut up for a while anyway. And I still have a lot more in my outline. So, but if you want to speak, it's fine with me. I can always put the outline in the folder and not use it. But I have a little more about the thorn, a little more about the signs, and okay. See, so I have the, so that means I go on this side. Anyone on my right have a comment on anything in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Question on anything in the same chapter? Any verses, old or new, you'd like to add to it? And we've noted sometimes Paul gave an Old Testament verse. And then some of them, hopefully we remember, it's in the New Testament. So, anything you'd like to say about God or your reaction to the your relationship with God? So, and I added one. Maybe you have something you want to say about Paul. So, okay. I'm right-handed. Anyone on? Okay. Okay, Jody? And incidentally, Brian won't be with us for the worship, and I'm sure he's going to be greatly blessed by polishing the pulpit. But Jody's going to have the lesson the next hour, so I'm looking forward to that. But go ahead.
Paul says he's weak. Another way you can look at it is really meekness as opposed to weakness.
Okay.
Jesus was very meek, he said, but he knew how to call out people who were sinners. Being meek and weak in spirit doesn't mean you're not boastful and strong.
Excellent comments. If we're not careful, we equate meekness with weakness, don't we? And it's not really the same. Okay. Anyone else on my right? And I've seen the hands over here. Okay. Anyone else?
God's weakness. I mean, God, Paul was weak, and he prayed for strength. And God gave him the strength that he needed, because we as human beings want to know what that thorn in the flesh is, but we're not told. And the emphasis should be placed upon God giving him the strength to overcome.
I agree. Paul experienced some things we don't understand, but we might say, oh, he was very weak. We could be weak in our trust in God, couldn't we? But Paul was strong in his trust in God. Okay. Anyone else on my right? I'm overlooking the left. Okay. Okay, we'll go to my left, and I'll get rid of my right hand. Anyone else? Dwayne.
Well, I just think it's interesting that Paul talks about how weak he is physically because of his thorn in the flesh, which we don't know what it was, but apparently it was something chronic that, you know, bothered him all the time. But he's still just as much an apostle as Peter or John or any of the others. He can do the same things. He can perform the same miracles. And his inspiration from God was just as accurate as theirs was. You know, both, you know, throughout the book of Acts and in all the books of the Bible that were written by the other apostles. And the tendency, I know, among a lot of what we call the denominational world, they don't look at Paul like he was a real apostle. But he was. And what he said was just as important as anything else in the New Testament. Because he had God behind him. He had Christ behind him. And what we need to remember is that what is written in this book is just as important as, you know, the books written by Peter, the books written by John, or, you know, Acts, or even the Gospels, because Paul was, and what we forget about, Paul was also a very educated man. Probably more than most of the apostles. So he knew about Jewish history. He knew about what the Messiah was supposed to be. And you add to that the knowledge that Christ gave him, that in some ways he may have been even smarter than the other apostles from the point of view of prophecy and how everything leads up to Christ. And that is why we should be Christians, and we need to leave our Jewish ancestry behind.
Excellent. Becky, did you have your hand up?
No, well, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out this tractor. I don't want to discount Dwayne's because it's kind of a different direction in the fact of just trying to figure out how those first four verses kind of relate. And I guess, you know, if you look at it as it being Paul, I guess I'm trying to like concretely prove that Paul's talking about himself, which is a very good idea. I mean, it seems to go in line to make the verses line up. But if he's talking about himself and you say 14 years, would he have been converted 14 years prior to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians? I mean, is that more concrete proof that it's himself he's talking about?
Okay, excellent. Anyone else to my left? I would view that Paul experienced these things, and he was referring to himself. And I like verse 7. Did you notice the word I added? And lest I, and then I added Paul, should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me. Now, we're not going to have time. But if you get a thorn, it can be very painful, can it? And do a lot of damage. So, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, beat me, And then, I've already told you, I don't really know what the thorn was. I can give you the explanations, but really, now, if I've overlooked it, share it with me. And, well, Brian's not here today, but I'll speak for him. I'll tell you publicly, hey, I overlooked it. Here's the book, chapter, and verse. No doubt. You can go anywhere in the world. Doesn't matter what your translation is. That was the thorn. Does the New Testament do that? Did Paul do that? Do you suppose he knew what the thorn was? And then his reaction, was it, oh, so what? No, he pleaded with God how many times? 3 times. Lord, remove it. He answered his prayer, didn't he? He heard his prayer. And no, I'm not going to do it. So, don't overlook that. God may say yes. He may say no. And he means no. And he may say, wait a while. I'll give you something better. Hovind, his book on the books of the Bible, he used the word, it's unknown. We don't know what the thorn was. Erdman's handbook to the Bible, they look at it physically. He had an eye disease. And even affected how he looked. Maybe. But then, what about the spiritual? And this is the one maybe I can really relate to. Did the unbelieving Jews like Paul's change? Okay. They even followed him from town to town, didn't they? Hey, boy, that could be a thorn in the flesh. So, I don't know. Some have suggested the opposition of secular Israel. And doesn't the book of Acts even suggest sometimes they followed him, the unbelieving Jews from town to town, and stirred up trouble. So, now, I think, well, let's turn to the book of Galatians. And Haley, in his handbook to the Bible, this is all he said about the thorn. Galatians chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own what? Eyes and given them to me. So, some will go to that passage in Galatians. That's the thorn in the flesh. He had an eye disease. And they'd even go in the same book. Chapter 6, verse 11. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. Now, I'm going to assume you know, sometimes Paul dictated the letter, didn't he? He had a secretary. Could it be that he didn't see that good? So, that's one explanation. Kaufman, of course, you know I have kept his commentaries, was the opposition of secular Israel. But I still like, and I'm still in Galatians, that's not going to help, but look at the last part of verse 7. Lest I be exalted above measure. That kept me meek. That kept me humble. Think of what I could do. So, I think we need to put the emphasis. I don't know what the thorn was. Why was it given? What purpose did it serve? So, now, I think I can do it. The signs of an apostle. We're not going to take time. Read. Somehow we don't do it. But look at Mark 16, 17, and 18. My question, could an apostle have done that? Could the believers in Jesus in the first century have done that? That these signs would follow? Now some today would say yes, they even continue today. Miracles. But, so. Not going to have time. In Romans 15, Paul, we already studied, one thing was he had a sphere. And that included Corinth. And he had the authority of God in Corinth. And we've already stated in later, he ends up in Rome. Where do you want to go besides Rome? Want to go to Spain. So, now, think Corinth, Rome, Spain. If you will look in Mark 16, then in Acts, Paul could raise the dead. Do you remember in Acts 20 who he brought back to life? Eutychus. Peter had brought Dorcas back to life. So the apostles could raise the dead. My joke is, if you fall out of the pew and break your neck and it kills you, Brian and I are not going to be able to do anything about it, are we? But Peter could have gone down and done something about it. Paul could go down and do something about it. So he raised the dead, Eutychus. He's on his way to Rome. I heard that's the first bell. Remember he was bitten by a viper? He just shook it off, didn't he? Didn't Jesus promise that sign? So. They first said, oh, he's a criminal. He's a murderer. Then they thought, oh, man that could do that, he's a god. Then one of the influential men, did Paul do some healing on the island? So, and now in 1 Corinthians, he could speak in tongues. We already know he knew Hebrew and Greek. But according to 1 Corinthians 14 and 18, he could speak with other languages that he hadn't learned. So, but again, why could Paul do that? What was the purpose of it? Good to have all of you this morning. It's amazing how time goes on. We'll have the final chapter next week. And remember, that's the third major section of the book. So good to have all of you this morning. We'll look forward to 10:30.